Praise the Lord, church. Praise God. So good to be in the house of the Lord today. You know, it seems like the devil's working overtime to try to create chaos and fear and doubt. You know, but this is the time for the church of the Almighty God to stand tall, to stand strong, amen, and to stand and practice what we preach, amen. You know, I thought about this time at work. There's a time at work, I believe it was last year around this time, and there was a guy that got a new smoker grill, and he was so anxious to just treat everybody to this barbecue, the smoked pork, I think he did, and he brought it in and put out this big, huge spread, and just so generous of him. And there was just a small group at my table, and everybody at my table, we got our food, and they all waited, and then we asked God to bless our food. And I could hear a couple snickers behind me and at the other table, and then some people even said something during the gathering. Well, later that night, I didn't know, but there was a lot of calls being made, and I came into work the next day, and the parking lot was near empty. And we're going to ask him. Then there's some guys that called in. They called me. I was their boss. They're saying, I tried, but I can't make it. I'm really, really sick. And what happened was everybody got food poisoning. And then the guy that cooked it, he was even sick. And then he was talking to one of the guys at our table who had ate just as much as he did and from the same portion. And he goes, how are you doing? He goes, I'm doing fine. I feel great. So the guy started doing the math. He started going and seeking around everybody that was at our table. And he figured out real quick that nobody at our table that had asked God to bless our food had gotten sick. But everybody else in the whole entire room got sick. And they were at the emergency room. Some went to the doctors. I mean, some that tried to come in, they left within like 10 or 15 minutes. I tried. I made an effort. I put my foot in the door. I'm going home. I'm throwing up. But in this time of uncertainty, in this time of fear, all we have to do, and this seems so simple, but all we have to do is call on the name of the Lord. There is power in the name. There is healing in the name. There is blessings in the name. So we pray, God, please bless this food that you put before us. And we can do that with everything. God, please bless this service that you've here put before us. Please bless every church in this nation that is calling on your name. Lord, let your blessings be upon them, Lord. Don't let anybody get sick that comes into these doors or goes out these doors, because your blessing is upon them. If God can do that with smoked pork, He can do that with a living vessel. Amen. God can do that. God wants to do that. God wants to be glorified. And what better way that God can be glorified than the church of the living God can call on his name and say, God, bless us, Lord. Let your blessings be upon us. Not for us, Lord, but Lord, that your light might shine through us, that your light might strike tall. We don't have to come into church with fear. We don't have to come in church with chaos. We can trust in the name of the Lord. It was said this morning, where do we go when we need help? He is where we go. He is where the help comes from. Amen. Jesus. Hallelujah. We have to do our part, Brother Wes. We wash our hands. We practice good hygiene. But you know what? Like Paul, when he was in the fire and that snake came and bit him, he didn't, oh, take me back. Put me back in jail. No, he just took it off. He goes, I am going to do a work for the Lord. And God has called each and every one of us to be a light, to be a city on a hill. And what better time than right now than to stand on the name of the Lord? You do not have to be fearful. You don't have to be afraid. Even if the cupboard becomes empty, even if you've got that last piece of meal and you're going, I'm going to make this one and then we're going to die. God can make provisions. God can make a way. He can make that cupboard go overflowing where you can feed yourself, your family, and your community. Amen. I don't know what God has in store for First Apostolic Church of Sandwich, but I do know that I can trust in Him. I do know that he has been here from the beginning, and he's going to be here in the end. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can we do that today? Can we lift up that name? I will bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is with me. Let us rejoice. Let us be glad. Hallelujah.
I will bless the Lord. I will praise His name. some could say this is a week of hysteria and panic that we've seen on the news channels as we've walked in the stores and seen people react in a state of panic. And it was, I believe it was Thursday, I went into the store, and as I walked in the store and I saw people, more people were at home from work than usual in the middle of the week, and it was because of the events that have happened this week. And I saw the way they were reacting, and they were reacting with panic. And I saw them grab things off the shelf, and I saw this lady, I took a picture of it. She had the biggest roll of toilet paper underneath one arm and another big one underneath the other arm. And she got three big ones. I don't know how she was able to configure it, but she was walking towards the checkout. And I'm looking around, I'm thinking, why doesn't this faze me? It's the peace of God that is causing this not to faze me. But I don't know about you if you felt the same way, but it's almost like an eerie, peaceful feeling that God gives his people. And I was looking up the definition of peace, and it says freedom from civil disturbance. Another definition is freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. And I don't know how any other way to describe peace than that. And that's a peace of God, the peace that passes all understanding. And what better time for God's people to shine than right now? This is a moment of prayer that we're having in our service. And I'm praying that the peace of God that has rested upon me this week, that is resting upon you this week, that we would be a lighthouse to everyone around us. When they are asking, why are you so calm? I have a peace that passes all understanding. I can't explain it. I have it. I would love for you to have what I have, and I want to share this with you. I want to share my story with you. And what greater time in our life than we have right now to share this time with the ones that don't have the peace that we have, that don't know God the way we do. If we could take our needs to the Lord right now. If you have a need, feel free to come forward. But there's ones that are, we're going to continue to pray for Brother Day and Brother Sean, and continue to pray for Easton, because when we prayed, there was an improvement. We saw a visible improvement this week, and we need to rejoice in that. For Brother Ray, we saw him here last week, and we're going to continue to pray for him. And we're going to pray for the ones that aren't here today. We're going to pray for the rest of this service, because God has a word from the Lord that Brother Wes is going to bring in a few minutes, but we're going to pray for that as well. Let's pray for a spirit of unity, and that God will continue to use us as a lighthouse of peace in this time. In Jesus' name, Lord, we honor you. We thank you, Lord. We desire more of you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We desire an overflow of your presence, Lord, in this place, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the peace that passes all understanding, Lord. Lord, is leading and guiding our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. We can't put it in words, Lord, but, Lord, may we be a lighthouse to you in such a time as this, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. I pray, Lord, for Brother Ray, that you continue to touch him, heal him, draw him to this house, Lord. I pray, Lord, you touch Brother Day, Lord, where he's at, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Continue to touch him, minister to him, Lord, at his time of need right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, for Easton, Lord. We're expecting, Lord, you to do a complete work, Lord. Lord, you've begun to do a good work. I believe you're going to complete it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. We're trusting in you, God, Lord, that God that hears, the God that responds to our cries, to our prayers, in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray, Lord, for Brother Weston, Lord, as he's going to bring forth the word in a few minutes, Lord, that you would, your anointing would fall heavily upon him, Lord. Fall upon our hearts and minds here in this place as we're gathered in your name, Lord. May the spirit of expectation, Lord, rise up within us, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, being ready to respond to you, God, here in this place today, in Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Forever, oh, the Lord. Oh,
that shout. He's worthy of that hand clap. I might not be able to shake hands with anybody for the next couple weeks, but I can raise my hands in adoration. He's worthy of it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We are going to forego our meet and greet as we normally do at this time. And for the announcements, we are going to cancel our PM activities as far as prayer tonight. Another announcement that wasn't on our bulletin was this Saturday at 10 o'clock. Is that right? The ladies are welcome to come to the church for a wedding shower for Allison. At this time, if we could put those words up on there, we're about ready to receive this morning's tithes and offerings. We're going to ask the ushers to come at this time. If we could just in unity say this together. Upon the authority of your word, I have given and shall be given unto me, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I am a tither, and I bring my offerings into the house of the Lord. I bring them in today into the storehouse. Therefore, the enemy is rebuked, the curse is broke, and I live under an open heaven. We receive jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, sales and commissions, benefits and settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and incomes, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, bills paid off, debts demolished, royalties received. I and my whole family am blessed and walking in the favor of God. I have health and abundance. I am blessed coming in and going out in Jesus' name. Let's give God a hand clap and give it to the Lord.
Oh, Anybody thankful to be in the house of God today? You happy you made it here safely? Happy we feel His presence? I'm so excited for what the Lord is going to do in this place. If you don't know me, you're probably thinking, why is he just walking up and taking the mic? Who's this guy? I am Sister Johnson's brother, and Brother Johnson is on a business trip, and he asked me to speak. Which I'm very thankful for that. I love Brother Johnson, love Sister Johnson, not just because they're family, but because they're awesome people, and they're great people, and I trust them with my life. I really do. I trust them with my life, and I'm so thankful for the opportunity. Pastor Johnson texted me this morning and said he was praying for me and that God had ordained me to be here today, and as I read those words, tears filled my eyes. Because I believe that. I believe that. I believe that there's a reason why I'm here today. And I think there's a reason why I'm speaking today. Nothing about me, but because God uses people. He uses the willing vessels. And I believe that He's going to do that today. And I'm just so thankful to be here. So thankful to be here. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to go ahead and open up to Genesis 3, verses 1 through 8. It's a very common, very familiar passage of scripture, and it says this. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field." Anybody ever experienced that? Sin is pretty subtle, isn't it? "Which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it." Don't even touch it. Don't not just don't eat from it, don't get close to it. Don't touch it, lest ye die. Verse 4 says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They hid themselves from the presence of their Creator. For the next few minutes, I want to preach to you a sermon entitled, The King of Your Curse. The King of Your Curse. Let's all pray right now for the remainder of this service. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to be here today. Right now, I pray in this room that every single person would realize that you are King of all. And Lord God, that you sit on the throne and you have authority. And right now we take authority over everything in this room that might come against you. And we claim right now victory in this place. Victory because you've already won the victory, God. And we believe it. I pray right now over every heart and every mind that all fear, anxiety, all temptation, whatever it is that might be coming against them, that would go in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for what you've done in this place and what you're getting ready to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. From the beginning, it was the tree. The tree has always been the thing that humanity can't seem to stay away from. The very first struggle that humans ever had in this life was with a tree. It was with a tree. It was the tree that God said, don't touch. Don't even get close to the tree. Don't mess around with the tree. But for some reason, they couldn't help themselves. They couldn't help themselves but get close to the tree. And the Word of God says that Eve was walking by the tree and the serpent began to speak to her and say, oh, you can't eat from all the trees of the garden? When I read that, I first thought to myself, why is she getting so close to something that she's not allowed to touch? If it's in the middle of the garden, it's in the midst of the garden, and God says, don't touch this. I'm staying as far away as possible. I've got plenty of other trees. He's given me all these things. Why do I have to get so close to this tree? But we want to play that game where we get close to the line and we say, well, I think I'm far enough. Sometimes we get a little too close to where the serpent can begin to tempt us, can begin to speak to us. And that's exactly what happens for Eve. And we see that she's dealing with this battle in her mind. Should I do it? Should I not do it? What should I do? And we deal with the same things. But the serpent begins to speak to her. And the serpent begins to tell her, well, God doesn't want you to eat of the tree because you'll just become like the gods. You'll know evil and you'll know good. You'll have knowledge. And that's why he doesn't want you to eat it. And Eve becomes convinced that this will make her wise and will make her have knowledge. I like to say that there are some things in this life that God does not want you to ever have knowledge or wisdom of. God does not want you to have knowledge of any kind of heartbreak. God doesn't want you to have knowledge of any kind of sin or addiction or issue or depression or whatever it might be. That is not something that God ordained for your life. But when you get too close to the tree and when we begin to take some things that we're not supposed to take, all of a sudden we deal with knowledge we were never supposed to have. Anybody ever felt that before? You felt the knowledge of family troubles because of decisions that maybe we've made or someone in your family makes. You experience knowledge that God never wanted you to endure. He doesn't want that. He wants you to stay away from it. But we get in this situation where we think that we have to experience something. Maybe this is for a young person in this place. I've felt this in my life before, where I have felt the need to step out in sin so I can experience something and gain knowledge. And when we step out of what God has ordained to experience knowledge and wisdom, all we experience is nakedness. All we realize in our life is that we're naked and we're not as good as we think we are. And we feel unworthy, and we begin to feel guilty, and we begin to feel shameful, and we begin to feel condemned, because now we've stepped outside. And when we step outside of what God says, don't touch, we get ourselves outside of God's protection. When you step outside of God's protection, you feel nakedness. But then when you feel nakedness, nakedness causes you to hide from the presence of God. When you start feeling condemned, that's how it starts. That's how it starts. We come to the altars. We can't raise our hands. And I'm not coming down. I promise this will not be like this. We will come to the altars, and we are going to believe God is helping. I am not trying to condemn anyone. I want you to know this right now. But I want to make a point. We've got to make points about sin, right? That it's not good. But we have to understand that it is a very dark and dangerous thing. And it starts a lot of times with condemnation. It starts with guilt. And you come to the altar, you can't raise your hands. But then it escalates a little bit. It's no longer just shame and guilt, but it's, you stop praying. And you start reading your Bible. And then you stop coming to the house of God. You stop coming to worship service. You end up locked in your home. And every time somebody tries to call you to invite you to church, you decline the call. Because you stepped outside of what God said, and now you feel naked, and now you're ashamed of yourself. And that's never what God had intended. And it's still not what God intends. We are not supposed to feel that way. Does anybody believe that we need to stay close to God and obey His commandments? Does anybody believe it? Let's clap our hands if you believe that right now. I believe it. We have to stay close to God, stay under His protection. It wasn't just the new gained knowledge that that Adam and Eve received. It also, they received consequences. And that's it's what happens to us every time we fall into sin, we fall into temptation, whatever it is, we do receive consequences for those sins. And the Bible says that the wages of sin are death. The wages of sin are death. And Genesis 3, 14 through 19 shows exactly every single consequence that was given out in that situation. It says this, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle." You know, if you're the one tempting someone to do something, you'll be cursed too. Not just the person who goes and sins themselves, but if you're trying to get your buddy to come with you and disobey the word of God, you know everything involved in sin is just cursed. We can't mess with it, guys. We can't mess with it because everything involved in sin is cursed. And it says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Verse 16, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply the sorrow in thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and their desire shall be thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, and for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." Everything was punished. Everything received consequence. And one curse that we see is that the ground would then produce thorns. Because of what Adam did, the ground would produce thorns. Anybody ever had any interaction with any kind of thorn in your life? Whether that be a physical thorn or it might be a thorn in your side, a thorn in your flesh, as Paul might say, somebody not in this room, because we don't believe that. But have you ever experienced thorns in your life? Well, you have Adam to thank for it. One decision by one man, and we have difficulties. And we have thorns. And our life is full of them. I work for my church, and I'm the administrative assistant slash maintenance man slash, hey, go grab some chairs and bring them up to the youth room slash anything, go clean the toilets kind of guy. That's what I do. One of my jobs, I do this every so often, is that I will trim the bushes outside the church. Some of them have thorns. And I would trim these bushes, and when I would go, I would pick them up just to clean up the area. And if I wasn't careful, remember the first time I did it, I went down fast after this one bush. You know, I'm like, I'm going to pick it up, boom. And I was like, ah! And my buddy Chandler looked over me and said, what? I was like, this one has thorns on it. You know, and it sticks you, and it's annoying. Thorns are annoying. Thorns aren't fun. You know, and I never think of thorns as a good thing, but it says that for the rest of your life, you're going to have to deal with thorns. And when we sin, we still experience the same curse that was given to Adam. We still experience thorns. When we fall into sin, we still experience this thing called guilt and condemnation. And we still go through difficulties and troubles, and we have problems, and there are thorns in our life. But for some reason, a thorn can mess us up. A thorn can really mess us up. And by the time we're out of these thorns, we don't even remember what we looked like when we came in. We got so many cuts and scrapes and piercings that we don't even realize what all these thorns did to us. And we would look in the mirror and say, this all happened to me today? I got this many cuts? My clothes look like this? We get to that point where we say, how did this even happen? Not one of us in this room would say that thorns are a good thing to endure. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe somebody loves thorns. Good for you. If you like thorns, I'll move on. But I don't enjoy them. But it's still something about us that even though there's thorns in our life, we go back to the thing that gave us the thorns. We get cut. Me and Lauren have talked about this. Watching Paris, we say there are so many sermons you can preach from a little girl doing something, getting stuck in one of her, whatever that is, a little cart, stroller thing. She gets stuck in it. She can't get out. Lauren goes over, gets the girl out. She's like, thank you, happy, you know? And then I turn around and I'm like, she's back in. She got back into the stroller. What is she doing? She's going to get stuck again. Are we not the same way? There's something so beautiful and compelling about a tree that someone says, don't touch. There's something so compelling about a sin that we know we're not supposed to do. And I know that I'm not glorifying it. I'm not saying anything about that. What I'm saying is in us, there is a flesh that dwells within us that we want what God says don't touch. And we know it's going to bring forth thorns. But in the moment, it's so beautiful. And it could make us wise. And it could give us knowledge. And we'll know everything. But then we walk right back to that tree. And we eat of it. And thorns start to stick us. And thorns start to stick our families. And thorns start to stick our friends. And we don't want to do it again. And we run away. And then again, we come right back to the same thing. And we get stuck by thorns again. What is it about people that just keep going back to thorns? And what does God do with someone who can't stay away from the tree? What does God do for the ones who seem to be obsessed with going back to a tree? What does Jesus do to someone who can't go back? Well, I'd like to tell you that he dies on the very thing that we can't stay away from. Jesus sacrifices his life on the very thing that we keep going back to. Because of our struggles with the tree, he goes and dies on a tree, an old rugged tree on Mount Calvary. He sees that you can't stop going back, so he says, I have to sacrifice it all just so you can get over this tree, just so you can get over this sin, just so you can get over this. I don't want you to see this anymore. And once we look back, and it was a tree that represented our sin, and it represented addiction, and gossip, and lust, and all these things. And now we look back at a tree, and all we see is the blood of Jesus Christ. A tree that used to represent my brokenness now represents the arms of a Savior stretched wide on a cross. And we look now and we see that we're saved and that we're forgiven and that we can walk in a new life. He has given us so much. He has forgiven us. I have a question today. Do you feel condemned? Look at the tree. Do you feel broken? Look at the tree. Are you feel guilty and shameful? I tell someone today in your mind, can you look back at the tree? Because what used to be your sin has now been covered by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You have no reason to fear. You have no reason to doubt. But he shed his blood for you on Calvary. Someone look at the tree. All you see is victory now because he paid it all. Such an amazing thing. I told Lauren, I said, I love the symmetry of the Bible. You look in the Old Testament and you see that we have a problem with the tree. And you look in the New Testament and he dies on a tree. And he does everything perfect. He does it so you have no doubt that you're forgiven. No doubt that you can't be saved. Someone in this room, you might not believe what I'm saying right now. I'm here to tell you that his blood was for you. His blood was for you. You can have an experience with that. If you ask for his forgiveness, he can forgive you. He has all power. Amen. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Thank you for the cross, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. I'm sorry, I'm getting all kinds of excited today. And I'm not going to stop. Because this is something that means a lot to me. I've got things in my past that I look back now and I don't see anymore. Because it's covered. It's covered. It's covered. It's interesting that that Jesus is the one who dies on the cross because it's so beneath him. He didn't count it as beneath him, but it was beneath him. It was something that he was the spotless lamb. He had no sin. He never did anything wrong. When it came down to him and Barabbas, they took the spotless lamb, the one that didn't deserve it all. And the Bible even tells us in Philippians that he humbled himself unto death, even to the death of the cross. The cross was not something light, but it was something that the law had ordained as a cursed thing. Let me show you. Galatians 3:13-14 says this. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The law said this. This was something that people knew. And now the Messiah is going to get up on a tree, and now everyone's going to know that he's cursed. If I'm the leader, if I'm in charge of something, I'm sure you don't want to be the one that everyone's looking at saying, oh, they're cursed. They're messed up. Look at him. He's on a tree. He can't even take himself down. He can't even get himself off of there. What's his deal? It was beneath him, but because he realized we had a curse from the very beginning. When we messed up and we took part in a tree we should have never touched and we began to eat from a tree we never should have touched, he said, you know what I'll do? I'll take the curse off of them and I'll become a curse for them. I want to tell you today, he's not afraid of your curse. He is not afraid. He is not fearful of your curse. He's not afraid or fearful of your situation. He's not afraid or fearful of your battle. He's not afraid whatsoever, because one time, for every single one of you, he became a curse. He became it for all of us, and he took it off of us. He's not afraid of your problems or your situations. He's not afraid, because he already handled it. He already knows. He's not too proud to take care of your situation. He's not too proud to stoop to your level. He still holds the same redemptive power that he held on Calvary. It says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. When I first read that, I began to cry. I began to get tears in my eyes, because he knew this. He knew cursed is everyone, every person that hangs on a tree. And he says, you know what? I know how to get rid of this curse. I'll just become a curse for them. Lauren, if you could come to the music. I am not totally done, but I'm close. I'm going to read verse 14 of Galatians. It says this. It says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So he says, first of all, I became a curse for you. But then, it's not just because of that. It's so that you can have the Spirit of God living in you. Has anybody in the room experienced the Spirit of God in you? Has anybody received the Holy Ghost by speaking in other tongues? Are anybody thankful for that? Well, I'd like to tell you this. If you want to count yourself out from it, if you haven't received the Holy Ghost today, today is the day of salvation. And you can have it, because he hung on a tree and became a curse for you. And now you can experience his Spirit. I might have called Lauren up a little early, because I never know how fast it's going to go, and I don't want to get behind, you know. So just, you're going to get a workout. But it's okay. She loves me, guys. She loves me. Okay? So it's okay. All right. Now we see Jesus led to a cross. They've already done the whole Barabbas versus Jesus thing, and they yell, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And they make a big scene, and they take Jesus, and they take him to the cross, and they beat him, and they bruise him, and they do all the things that I talked about last time when I was here. That was part of my sermon, and I'm not going to keep dwelling on that, but that is what the cross is. He endured all of that. And he gets to the point where they put him up on a cross, and they're saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And it's not a praise, it's a mockery. And to cap it off, they put a crown of thorns on his head. Of thorns. They put a crown of the very thing that was cursed from the very beginning on his head. You know, a crown is for a king. A king signifies authority. A king, that crown signifies power. And what they did to mock him was just actually a symbolic thing that said, he's King of Thorns. A lot of times we think this, we think, oh, he's King of my peace, he's King of my hope, King of Glory, says the song. It sings the song, it says, King of my peace, King of my hope, King of all these things. But we forget sometimes that he's King of Thorns. We forget sometimes that he's the King of Sin. I'm not saying that he started it and he's all happy with it. I'm saying he has authority and he has power over it. And you know what kings can do? Do you know what kings can do when somebody walks in to the throne room of the king and they have thorns? He can say, thorns go. You're banished. No more. No more thorns. No more guilt. No more shame. No more sin. No more trouble. He can do all of that because he's King of Thorns. Because they said, you know, hail the King of the Jews. And they crowned him. But when they did it, they didn't realize what they were doing for me. They didn't realize that they were just validating everything that he had ever done. They were just validating that he could take care of my needs. They were just validating that he's the King of my thorns. He's the King of all your difficulty and all your battles. Can we all stand across the room? He's the King of all of your battles. Isaiah 6:1 says this. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. It's an interesting thing about kings and their trains. When a king would win a battle, he'd take the train of the king that he defeated, he'd cut off the end of it, and he'd attach it to his train. And it would become so long, and if a king walked in and he had a long train, he'd be like, I'm going to kill every one of you. You're done. And that's how everybody felt when they saw a king with a long train, because he has won a lot of battles. Isaiah 6:1 is just a way of saying that he's won every battle. It's just a way of saying that his train fills the temple. That everything you've ever battled, everything that you've ever struggled with, it's done. He's defeated it. It's on his train. There's a record of it. And I think of it this way. I think of the train just filling this room right now. And if I could, I'd be scrambling through that train to find every battle that he won for me. And I'd be going through it, and I'd go through, oh, this is whenever he healed me. Oh, this is whenever he saved my family member. Oh, this is whenever he brought me out of depression. Oh, this is when I had struggles with lust when he brought me through. Oh, this is when. That's what I would be doing, because he's won every battle. His train fills the temple. It fills the temple. Oh, Jesus. Today you need to find your battle on his train. What's your battle? Get it in your mind. What's your struggle? What's the thorn? Because his train fills this temple today. And it says, I won that battle. Won that battle. I won your battle. I won your battle. I won your battle. I won your battle. Go come up to this altar and find proof today. Find the proof. Find the evidence. Find the record that he defeated it already. I wonder right now if we could all come. I don't know if this is what we normally do, but I want to do this right now as we come into closing. His train fills the temple. It's interesting what the Bible says about us and the temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says this. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Today, if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost and you're still enduring battles, we have to check and see, is he sitting on the throne? Because if he's sitting on the throne in my temple, his train will fill it. And I'll know every victory's won. But if I'm fearful, I need to be reminded today that he needs to sit on my train. And today, if you need the Holy Ghost, if you need His Spirit, can I tell you that His train wants to come and fill your temple? It wants to come in and fill your life and your heart. But today, we're going to begin to sing. And I want us to raise our hand. Whatever your situation is, I want you to know that He's won the battle, that His train fills the temple. It's not just this room. His train fills your life. His train fills your life. When something comes, it fills your life. When you're depressed, His train fills your life. He wins it all. Let's begin to sing and let's begin to worship, Lord God, right now. I pray, Lord Jesus, that You'd remind me of every moment that You've done it, that You've saved me. You're the King of my curse. You're the King of thorns today, Lord God, and everything that I've dealt with and everything that I go through. Lord God, You're the King of it all. You're the King of it all. Oh God, I need reminded today. Reminded today that You are King of thorns. Do you feel guilty? Look at the tree. Look at His blood. Look at it. Do you feel broken? Look at the tree. Look at His train. Find your battle. never lost his power. Yes.
Still has the power, the wonderful power to heal our diseases and cover our weakness.
Come on. If you have a weakness today, it covers it. Yes. Thank you, God. Yes. Hallelujah. Sits on the throne. No, I could have just came up here and said he sits on the throne and walked off, and that would have been my whole thought. But I believe that sometimes we just got to be reminded. Sometimes we forget what he does for us, you know. We forget that he died. We forget. Look at the tree. I was upstairs in Brother Johnson's office last night, overwhelmed with emotion, because I realize when I look back, I don't have to see that stuff anymore. I can see something different. I can see his blood. So tonight, whenever you feel condemned or guilty or shame, or you feel like God isn't on your side, I want you to look back at your life and look at every single thing that God brought you from. You look at every single thing he brought you from. Maybe you feel like you're going through things right now. He brought you through that. He'll bring you through it again. This train fills the temple. He's the greatest champion that we've ever seen. We don't lose. We never lose.
Yes.
We never lose. I guess I'm closing us out today. I appreciate so much the presence of God that's been in this room. I love this church. I really do. I'm thankful every time I get to be here, and it's even more awesome whenever I get to speak and get to share what the Lord's laid on my heart. I love the opportunity, and I take it with a lot of responsibility. I don't take it lightly to come here and speak, so I'm so thankful for all of you. I'm praying for you all, and we need to pray for each other during this time. Just as Brother Kellum said, it's a time where we stand up, we rise up. And we don't have fear. If you get fearful about the coronavirus, you just say, his train fills the temple. Okay? That's the deal. That's the deal we're all going to make today. When we get fearful, when people start, they post on Facebook, when they start tweeting, when they start posting wherever they want to post, saying what they want to say, you just can say it either out loud or in your mind. You can say, his train fills the temple. I'm all right. He knows everything. Amen. I believe that. Thank you all for being here today. Is there anything that I need to announce, say, anything like that, other than I'll let you say it?
Just there's no PM anything tonight, so stay home and
no PM.